So we now come to the conclusion of the letter, chapter 4, verse 9. Do your best to come to me. So don't make that sound like it's something easy. Timothy will have to get a boat from somewhere. Every boat risked your life. A lot of boats didn't arrive. He'd have to put up with the storms, etc., but they seemed to be pretty tough in those days, and they were willing to do all this. So Paul is lonely, and he really wants Timothy there. Come to me soon, for Demas, in love with the present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas was mentioned in the letter to Philemon and the letter to Colossians, both written at the same time, really, because Philemon lived in Colossae or thereabouts back in 54, so 10, 12 years earlier. Demas was one of the ones with Paul in Ephesus whose greetings he sent. Well, for whatever reason, and we don't have to judge Demas, he obviously, in love with this present world, that's how Paul saw it, he went back home, I guess, too. Crescens has gone to Galatia. There's a bit of a problem with this because the Greek Galatia was also used for Gaul. It's where the Gauls were from, the Celtic peoples. And they were from Gaul, what we call France is the nearest we can get to it. But the invasion of the Celts was pretty powerful in the 4th or 3rd century BC, and the Galatian country was a landlocked area with Celts in it. And they were a Celtic people, hence Galatia. So it probably means he went to Galatia. If he went to Gaul, that would be a little pointer to the fact that Paul did go to Spain. We'll come back to that later. Paul may have gone to Spain. The tradition is he did. And if he did, Gaul, Lyon, Lyon, so there's a Roman outpost where the Rhone River comes down from Switzerland then heads directly south to Marseille. There was a Roman outpost there. It could be there. That's part of Gaul. So maybe it's Gaul, but we'll presume it's Galatia. Titus went to Dalmatia. Now, Dalmatia, when Paul wrote to, from wherever he was, wrote to Crete, remember, in his letter to Titus, he asked Titus to meet him at Nicopolis. Nicopolis, this whole area was called, the southern part of Illyricum was called Dalmatia, Dalmatia. And that's a bit, the Dalmatian coast is there, as you know now, still. So the Dalmatia has been Christian since the time of Paul, part of it. So that's where it's not surprising that Titus is in that area. So perhaps he did meet Paul in Nicopolis and then continued his mission in that area. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark, he says to Timothy. Bring him with you. He's useful in my ministry. Well, that's nice to read, because many years before, when Mark came with Uncle Barnabas, or Cousin Barnabas, they went with Paul on his first missionary journey. And Mark, when he hit the malarial area of southern Turkey, got a cold or something and ran back to Mum. Anyhow, he wasn't up to it. It's all right. Plenty of things I'm not up to either, and you probably aren't either. So he went off, and then Paul says later, you can keep him, Barnabas. Mark can't trust him. Well, what a man if I'm going to go on this mission. Now here he is, years later, says Mark, what interests me there partly, and it would interest you too, I'm sure, is it's interesting to have Paul just about to die, so let's say 66, or the tradition is he died in 67. Here's Paul in Rome in 66. Luke is with him, and he asks Mark to come with Timothy. So Mark and Luke and Paul all together, it helps us build out the gospel writing and the mutual influence going on all the time between these various people. Peter Cephas is not mentioned there, but he could well be, and he's just not part of the letter, but he could well be in Rome at the same time. So you've got a lot of like we influence each other, a lot of very wonderful stuff going on there, and the gospel's forming. I've sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Tychicus is also mentioned in the letter of the Colossians and in the letter written by Paul, as I suggest, anyhow, from Caesarea to the Gentiles in the East. I've sent him to Ephesus, which is where Timothy basically is settled. When you come, now, has he sent him to Ephesus to replace Timothy? Because we got the idea earlier Timothy may have left. So he's saying, it's okay, I've sent Tychicus to take your place there, it's fine. So you come here to Rome. Or is he sending Tychicus there to relieve Timothy so Timothy can come to Rome? Not sure, doesn't tell us. When you come, this is all very human, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. So it's very cold in this little dungeon. And he left it somehow, got the boat and forgot to take it with him. So he wants his jumper that his mother knitted out of sheep wool from Tarsus or Cilicia. Bring it with you, and all the books, and above all the parchments. He wants to write a few more letters if he gets time. Doesn't seem he did. If he did, we haven't got them. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. Alexander the coppersmith, Alexander was also mentioned in the first letter to Timothy, written 2-3 years earlier from the east to Ephesus. And reading between the lines, and we are reading between the lines, was Alexander responsible for Paul's second imprisonment? Did he put him into the authorities? Did he falsely accuse him in Ephesus and get the Romans? We don't know, but it's not unlikely. It's a hypothesis. Whatever he did Paul great harm. The Lord will pay him back for his deeds. You must beware of him. He strongly opposed our message. So don't trust him. At my first defense, he says, so he must have had a preliminary trial in Rome, no one came to my support. They all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. There's an interesting connection here I mentioned between Paul's readiness to forgive and the attitude of Stephen at his martyrdom. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And Jesus' words, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. So in a way, this Jesus too was unsupported at his trial. They all deserted him. And here's Jesus forgiving Stephen, Paul. Good advice for us to forgive. Most people who hurt us don't know what they're doing. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. I was rescued from the lion's mouth. This is quite interesting because it's a reference to Psalm 22. Save me from the mouth of the lion. And why I say that is that in the gospel, my God, why have you abandoned me, is the first verse of the same psalm. They no one of his bones will be broken, Psalm 22. They cast lots for my clothes, Psalm 22. So this tragic psalm, hymn, poem from the ancient Jewish hymnal of the Second Temple, obviously it was a favorite one to talk about situations that are terrible. They use it to describe, artistically, to describe Jesus' death. They use it here again, and Paul's using it again. So often he would have meditated on it in the light of Jesus dying. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So I know in whom I put my trust. He's entrusting his life to Jesus, confident that Jesus will answer him. Then, some greetings. Greet Prisca and Aquila. They must be over there again in Ephesus somewhere. We met them first in 50 AD. They're the couple that worked making tents and leather goods and same trade as Paul. And so he met them when he first went to Corinth back in 50. And he worked with them. A couple of years later, they went with him, 52 AD, they went over to Ephesus with him and he left them there. And that's where they met Apollos. They met Apollos and helped train Apollos in Christian teaching and then sent Apollos off to Corinth. We met them again in 57 AD when Paul is writing in the early winter months of January or whatever of 57. He's writing the letter to Rome and he's greeting them. So they're back in Rome, which is where they came from. That's where their original house was. And now we find in 67 AD they've come back east again. So they're a great missionary couple, these two. Greet Prisca and Aquila. Interesting, her name's always put first. So she must have been the leading missionary of the two of them, and hubby kind of went all tagged along. Doesn't often happen, but. And the household of Onesiphorus, who we mentioned earlier as being the only one who really cared for him and sought him out. Remember chapter 1, verse 16? He found it hard to find Paul, but he found him, and so his household, he's sending greetings back from this person, back to the people, friends there. Erastus remained in Corinth. Now Erastus has some interest. He's mentioned in the letter to the Romans. Acts chapter 19 talks about him, and in fact in recent years they had discovered a pavement in Corinth with his name on it. Erastus, the city councillor, donated this pavement. So it's highly likely we're dealing with the same man. It's a very rare archaeological discovery that seems to point to this fellow, whom we're told was the town clerk or something of Corinth at the time. Trophimus I left ill in Miletus. Now we know that Trophimus was one of the ones elected by the churches to take the collection back to Jerusalem. That's told us in Acts 24. And in 21:29, Trophimus was the one who was with Paul in Jerusalem, and they blamed Paul for taking him into the temple. That's why they had this riot, because he's a Gentile, not allowed into the... Paul hadn't done it, but that was the accusation being made. So here he is again, left ill in Miletus, which seems to point, if it has to point, to this happened after Paul went to prison in Rome. So this is during his second stay in the East. Do your best to come before winter. I think might go back to the cloak, undoubtedly. Eubulus sends greeting to you, as do Pudens, and, interestingly, Linus. Now, Linus is in Rome with Paul. In Eusebius's History of the Church, he's put down as the second pope. Peter, Linus, Cletus, Clement, and then it goes on the list. Now, that's a bit historically arbitrary, probably, in the sense that in Rome in the first century there doesn't seem to have been one bishop, like we imagine it always being like that, but Rome was one of the last ones to have a monarchic bishop, perhaps the second century sometimes. But Linus was definitely there, and he was a leading overseer, episkopos, no doubt, of one of the areas. But there are a number of synagogues in Rome, and don't think yet, the Christians and the Jews may yet not have separated. Don't get locked into thinking everything's the way, like clear cut. It may well be that in Rome, Christians were still going to the synagogue. Christian Jews and non-Christian Jews and the Gentiles. I don't know how severe the split was at this stage. And because I don't know, I don't think anybody knows. No, but I just don't think the information is there. Don't always presume that it happened. So Linus is there as obviously a leader in the community, and possibly he was the most influential leader. So later, when it becomes monarchical, like one bishop over the whole of Rome, they trace their thing back through. And Clement, we know, was in Rome at the end of the first century. We're still not sure that it was a monarchic, like one leader for the whole of Rome, is all I mean. We just haven't got the information. But here's, it's good to see Linus there. And Claudia.
And all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
Plural. So, it's a very personal letter. But obviously there's stuff in there. He knows it's not just going to be read by Timothy. Timothy's going to show it to people, and he wants them all to see this.